Welcome to the Business of Sustainability podcast from Future Plus, where smart businesses turn sustainability challenges into a competitive advantage. I'm Alex Smith, bringing you real stories from leaders who've transformed sustainability and ESG pressures into opportunities for growth, innovation, and a stronger market position. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Paul Berger, Group CEO of Arena Group, one of the world's leading providers of temporary event infrastructure. From Formula One to major golf championships, Arena builds the structures, seating and interiors that make large-scale events possible across the UK, Middle East, Asia and the Americas. Arena Group is a retained Future Plus sustainability partner, a member, impact certified, and has been working with us across consultancy services, including Plus Carbon and a fractionalized head of sustainability support embedded in the team. So to say we are close, I think is probably fair. Paul joins us at a significant moment for Arena Group, the launch of its first global ESG strategy. Paul, welcome to our new studio that we're in today. It would be wonderful if you could just introduce yourself and give a little bit of background about how you found yourself in the role of CEO at Arena Group.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been part of the Arena company for 17 years now. It's a funny story. I was working in sports and sports marketing. I had nothing to do with designing and building events. But very much involved in the commercial side of sports. And in 2009, my brother-in-law convinced me to buy into a small marquee company. I think that's the best way to describe it, a marquee company that he'd set up in Dubai. He set it up in 99. This was 2009, so he'd been running it for 10 years, and he wanted me to take it over. And I had no interest, particularly. I was working in Formula One and motorsports, traveling around the world, and building tents and marquees wasn't really for me. Anyway, he convinced me. I looked at the business. It was a great business, great people, a great culture in there. He convinced me to buy into the business, and I did it with Arena. I was only going to do it if I had a good partner, a partner that knew the business well. And Arena at the time were the market leader in the UK in events, building events like Wimbledon, the Grand National, the Derby, iconic UK sports events. Decided they wanted to become an international company, and Dubai was the first port of call. Together we acquired this little business in Dubai with 35 people, and that was the start of the journey to where we are now, which is, you know, one of the largest global event services companies. So that's how I started, and I ran the Middle East for the company. My counterparts in the UK decided to do the same in the US and went off and bought a company in the US. We left the UK alone. They had a very mature market, very successful, been trading for 70-80 years. I ran the Middle East, built up the Middle East, across the UAE into Saudi Arabia, and then into Asia. Took the business into Southeast Asia. We bought a business in Malaysia, Singapore, established in Hong Kong, Korea, built up this big division for Arena called the Middle East and Asia. I was the CEO, and ran that up until COVID. And unfortunately, COVID was awful for our industry. First, events were always the first to go and the last to come back. We were able to pivot during COVID because we were able to use our structures for medical facilities and testing centers, etc. But anyway, we had to cut back. I then became the CEO of half our business. We merged the UK with the Middle East, created EMEA, and I became the CEO of EMEA. And then during COVID, I decided to make a bid for the company with the support of some institutional funding from Abu Dhabi. We were a public company at that time on the London Stock Exchange. It was a good time to take it private. We succeeded. And in 2022, I became the group CEO.
That's quite the history and such incredible growth for a company to go through, which means I can only assume the amount of sort of processes and you know, the practices that have had to change in that. And one of them has been sustainability, which has been sort of, you know, clearly embedded into a lot of what you have done over a period of time. But sort of, it's been quite important over the last couple of years to really pull that together into something that's got a framework and a structure to it, and a robustness for everybody to. So can you talk a little bit about
about the strategy? Absolutely. You know, sustainability has been for us, and more so today, more important. But fundamentally, when I took over as the group CEO, it was fragmented. We were doing, you know, parts of the company in the US, parts of the company in the UK were particularly active. There were other parts that were not. So we were all, you know, very conscious of our sustainability program and how important it was for us as a business and our clients. But it wasn't coordinated. There was no global strategy around it. So with our new shareholders on board, we decided that we needed a global strategy. We needed a group ESG strategy, which I have the pleasure of launching in the next few weeks. It's a 5-year strategy from 26 to 31. We're very, very excited about it. And obviously delighted to be working with Future Plus, and you obviously be very involved in that. But it's not a strategy that, you know, it's a strategy that we've pulled together from a lot of research that we've done with our clients, with our employees, with our stakeholders, with our supply chain. And then the data and the findings from that, we've obviously coordinated, put it together into a strategy. A little bit like, you know, it's really for us to be a much more responsible business. And then once we've sort of coordinated and we launched this strategy at a group level, we will have ESG ambassadors, employees that are really, you know, involved and supportive and globally. And they will have a framework on which to follow. And hopefully it'll be coherent and consistent, so that everything that we collect in terms of our data at a group level will be much more effective for us as an organization. So we're really excited about it, and obviously excited about seeing what the impact is going to have on us.
I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the amazing events that you've been involved with, whether it be the F1, whether it be sort of FIFA or the Olympics. But to give sort of some grounding to the ESG strategy, and I know, when you talk about what Arena does, can you expand on, because lots of people are sports fans or go to events and I think have absolutely no idea what or how it even becomes, you know, how a stadium gets built, how the infrastructure exists, the thought processes, the shipping logistics, the supply chain. Can you sort of give an overview, I suppose, that which might help ground some of the conversation around the ESG strategy about what it is that you turn up and what happens?
When people say, you know, Arena, they think you're in events, often they think that you actually manage the event and organize it, which of course we don't do. We have no expertise in that. What we do, it starts before the event. So we are very much, we call ourselves a temporary infrastructure company. So what we do is we design, we plan and build an event so that it's ready and fit for purpose to host whatever that event is. Most of our business is in the sports world. 80% of our business in sports, and it tends to be the major sports events, because it's only major sports events that require temporary infrastructure. So golf is a very good example. So we will go in and build an international golf tournament because a golf club will not have the grandstand seating. It will not have the hospitality structures. It won't have the TV studios. It won't have the fencing and barriers, the village, the sponsors, etc. These are the assets. These are the structures that we come in as an organization We as you rightly said, we'll go into a greenfield site, a golf course. It's immaculate. It's normally run by the members. So we have to manage how we build it around the stakeholders, which a lot of them are the members of that golf club, so they can still continue to play. And around the greenkeepers, because they're preparing the grass. And we build it. Health and safety is extremely important for us. Structural engineering, making sure that if we're building at height, that obviously that what we build is acceptable. But more importantly, how we leave it when we take it down, you know. And you know, everything that we build and everything we use, it goes back to our ESG, is sustainable. We reuse 90% of the materials we reuse on another sports event. Our wastage is incredibly small. I like to say that when we leave a site and we leave a golf tournament, that all the waste can fit into a Waitrose shopping bag. And if we achieve that, that's incredible. But yes, so we've been doing this for years. So we've been, you know, but with our new strategy, ESG strategy coming out, it's never been captured properly.
Yeah, that pulling together.
Pulling it all together.
So everybody's pointing in the same direction.
Exactly. It's a bit, and what we've done is we've created this framework around it called the Global Arena Standard. And that's not new. You know, that is for us, we've had that standard for when we build a sports event. So people will often say to us, that's the arena standard in how we construct it, what it looks like for a client. Now we have the Global Arena Standard for which is how we measure our ESG effort, and we put that into, if I recall, 14 different pillars under, you know, environment, social, and governance, and we've split it, and it starts obviously with how we capture that data to start off with, and then how we integrate it, and then what the impact is. So yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey to be a better business. That's the whole thing.
I think it's such an important part of a strategy is to understand why you're doing something. We often speak to a lot of businesses that have decided what they're going to do before they've realized why they're doing it. Yeah. You know, either somebody else said it, or it was in the newspaper that morning, or whatever it might be. Yeah. But actually understanding the why behind a lot of these decisions is vital. And you spoke earlier a little bit about reaching out and speaking to stakeholders. You have funders that sit above you, and then your employees, you've got the supply chain. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why it was important and where some of those pressures were coming from in order to really create this into something that was
speaking
the same language?
Absolutely. I think it starts with us wanting to be a more responsible and better business. And also how we run our business, but it's at every level. So if we start with our clients, our customer base, and as you know, we build major sports events like the Paris Olympics, and major events now expect suppliers, and we are a supplier, to have an ESG platform. To it's part of the RFP process. It's a section. So when you're winning a new contract, there is a weighting allocated to our ESG response. So coming from our customer base, our clients, that's super important for us. We have shareholders. We actually have government shareholders, and we have to follow their ESG strategy and their long-term goals and aims, and we have to report back and account for that. And so much so that we are judged as a company. We have KPIs. We have a KPI for financial performance. We have a KPI for new business, but we have a KPI for our ESG achievements and what we're doing, and getting to that net zero. We are very, very, you know, it's a very important part of how we are assessed as a business from our shareholders. And then the third thing is internally. You know, I mean, of course, it's, you know, our employees. I mean, the social side is super important to us. You know, it's a 7 day a week. When you're building an event,
it's not a normal job.
It's very difficult to attract younger people into the business because it's hard. It's hard work. So the social impact on our employees is huge. So we do things. We have initiatives where we support a mental health charity called Better, and have done for the last 2 years. And then Better in return are available to help our staff and our employees. And you know, mental health is a big thing, and obviously in an industry as stressful as ours in terms of getting something, because you can't be late for an event. Wimbledon starts on Monday morning. Yes. You can't be handing over the seats on Tuesday. So to get it ready by the Saturday or the Sunday prior is a stress. So obviously that's, you know, so from our perspective internally, listening to our employees and demonstrating that we're, you know, an employer that cares is important. So again, all came about, and that's why we're taking it very seriously and launching our strategy.
Having been involved in events in a past life, I think that culture piece is really interesting, because you say you can't be late. It is an entirely different kind of job to any other job pretty much on the planet. It is often somewhere that you may not have been before. You're landing in a country, you're building, it can be long hours, but it's also one of the most incredible opportunities to be part of something big and huge. Yes. So I think that culture piece and supporting sort of mental health is absolutely fantastic. But I think also a lot of what you've said, you know, the podcast, we always talk about the business of sustainability, and it's really important to us about sustainability is fantastic, and there is lots of good reasons to do it, and the impact. And as you were talking through all of those examples there, you know, the groundskeeper making sure that everything is good the day that you leave, or you know, winning a tender, everything, you know, the things that have naturally been embedded into the company of reusing equipment because it's more, I assume, financially sensible to do so. Yeah. All of those things just make so much sense to start embedding them into this bigger piece of work and be able to go out with a louder voice, I suppose, or a more confident voice from you to everybody that works in the team to say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, this is the process that we're going to go through, and this is the why, which sort of leads you sort of into something much, much stronger as an organization, especially with your footprint, the size that it is globally.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the biggest globally. So yeah, we're half our business is in the US, 25% over here in the UK, and the rest in the Middle East and Asia. And of course, we have to deal with different regulations with the ESG all over the world. But fundamentally, you know, we've been doing it for a long time. It's been very, very fragmented. And now, you know, with Future Plus, with our internal ESG leaders that we've, you know, that of Alex and Elaine, who spent a lot of time on this, we now need to capture this and organize and be responsible. And I think this coordinating it under this ESG strategy for Arena is a really a positive step forward. I think also, you know, in what we do as a business, and particularly with things like the FIFA World Cup or the Olympic Games, we want the Olympic Games to use temporary structures for their sports events. We don't want them to go out and construct permanent stadiums that end up becoming white elephants afterwards because there's no use. It's much more sustainable for them to come to us. We build a temporary football stadium, athletic stadium, swimming stadium, we convert it and then they take it away. So Paris is a really good example. You know, the swimming, which was one of the biggest events on television and there, full crowds every day, obviously helped by a French swimmer, that was in an indoor rugby stadium, which we went in and converted into an international swimming venue. Okay, so they were using an existing facility in Paris, and we just came in, some temporary scaffolding, dropped a couple of 50 meters. I say it's not as easy as that, but we built a temporary swimming venue, two pools, because they have to have a warm-up pool in addition to the one that we saw on television. And that's what we're trying to encourage with LA 28, because LA is the next Summer Olympics. They are following the same line. And ESG and our submission, we have a bid team that is a full-time bid team for these major events, have to show what we as a company, and we're much stronger when we have a global strategy collected at group, okay, working with Future Plus, making sure that all the efforts that we do all around the world is collected. Obviously, some areas we can push the bar a little bit more, and other areas not so. We're creating a platform, if you will. We're not saying you have to do it this way. We're creating a platform, and if some people want to go a bit further, that's absolutely fine. But we're doing it as we do with our business, whether it's finance, whether it's operations, whether it's health and safety. This is what we do as a business, and ESG is now very much at the forefront of everything that we do as a business.
So it's an interesting sort of complement to Arena Group, if you can, you can't always tell when you are there, and that kind of, I suppose, is part of the magic of what sports events are and what sort of your suppliers and partners are looking for. When you work, you are sitting in sort of quite in a wide ecosystem of all of those suppliers and partners. How do you find working with them if they are not quite on the same maturity curve around sustainability? Do you find a responsibility, and I suppose it's that part of the strategy, in order to share best practice or to sort of guide and support in what that looks like?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously, I mean, we're working upwards and we're working downwards. So, you know, our downwards, you know, our supply chain for us has to be, you know, ethical. It's important. I mean, obviously, you suppliers are at different sizes, and we work with those suppliers globally to enforce better governance. Governance is very important with them, particularly because we have regulations, and each area obviously has different regulations, and it's really important that we manage that through our supply chain, and not just make it a procurement process to do with numbers, but now obviously to ensure that they are compliant. And yeah, it's we are leaders. We have a responsibility, and it's all part of making ourselves, you know, a better company.
Yeah, it makes it certainly easier when you can build those relationships and sort of take everybody on the same journey.
Yeah,
we talk a lot as well about sort of progress over perfection. When we're talking to companies, that trying to get to perfection is very difficult. It's hard to get lots of people there. It's hard to culturally get people there as well in organisations. And I think, you know, from reading the Arena strategy, that's very much been built into there of what this looks like now and then what that looks like in 5 years. But can you talk about, you know, if we were sitting here in 5 years' time, if we get the opportunity to sort of come back and follow up on this conversation, what do you think success would feel like for you and the organization?
I think for me, it's twofold. For me, it's more internal. I want ESG not to be something that we have to do or we're being forced to do it. It's something that I want to be part of the DNA of the business. I want people to feel it's natural. It's how we go about making our business a better business. And making the lives of, you know, our employees better. You know, whether it's mental health, whether it's their working conditions, whether it's all driven by culture. I'm quite well known in the company for saying that we're a people driven company. The difference between us and our competition is that I feel that we have the best people. I've often always say that anybody can construct a tent or a grandstand, but it's how you manage that. You manage that process, you manage that project, and that starts with the people. So for me, the assets of Arena are in our employees. We have some fantastic people across the world. And ESG fits into that. I just want it, people to feel that that's just who we are. And it's just part of our DNA. It's part of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And if in 5 years that has just, if we've got to that level, that we're actually a better run business, a more responsible, a more efficient business, I think ESG is going to play a massive role in that. And I think that is probably the most important thing. Externally, yeah, look, people look to us today as the number one or leading event services companies in the world, the best, you know, in terms of temporary infrastructure. We're a world leader. If we can have that same impact, you know, that people go, you know, and we have that same, people look at us and look at what we do and how we capture our ESG data and how we integrate it and what it means, and if people can look at that, and that's a point for us, that would be the secondary thing after 5 years. So yeah, that's how I see it.
When you embed ESG into decision making and into something bigger, and it's where it really comes alive, have you found or do you envisage any challenges around what that looks like?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's driven by people. We've got some strong ambassadors, you know, in the business. So Elena Dwyer, Alex Spinks are driving it for us now. We are currently in the throes of appointing a senior sustainability lead. At a board level, at my level, we have an ESG committee that meets once a month, and then it's down to each office around the world. And we have a lot of offices and a lot of people, 1400 permanent. We have a lot of freelancers, and you, of course, it's encouraging. There's everywhere in every office there are people who are more passionate, let's say, than others on this, and it's encouraging and supporting that. But what they have now is a framework that we've created, rather than going off and doing it and us not capturing the true impact of what they're doing. Under our new ESG strategy, we have this framework that will be able to capture these initiatives, capture this passion that's driven in all our offices and warehouses and depots around the world. And then bring it together at the center. And I think for us, the challenge is making sure that we have enough local ambassadors of ESG that can drive it and grow that ambassador base as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah, there's always that sort of data tells, story sells line that I think is really vital to sustainability, that to encourage people into it, there's got to be a certain amount of narrative and storytelling around it. Yes. Because people do go, actually, if people can understand it and can make it feel tangible, then it's so much easier to get, you know, to physically get hold of and to understand why you're all pointing in the same direction and what that bigger picture looks like. And I think that's, again, where sort of things start to sort of line up. We've talked about sort of the drivers and the strategy. There are businesses out there that are going to be a few years behind this, that are sort of just starting to think about what does it look like for them. They might be smaller organisations, the same size organisations, etc., that are just maybe don't have the same maturity level. Having gone through the process of having all of these very, very good things that are happening, but slightly siloed, bringing it together, what advice would you give for CEOs and business leaders out there in order to sort of take that next step and to put something into something more structured?
Yeah, I mean, exactly like Arena, what we found, as you say, is we any company now, the CEO will look at it, and actually they're probably doing a lot already. It's just not in a framework or captured properly. So I think it's a case of bringing and understanding what you're already doing, putting a structure in place to move forward. So capturing that information, doing your surveys, super important surveys with your internally, with your employees, with your supply chain, with your customers, with your shareholders, to capture all that information, put a structure together with a company like Future Plus. You don't have to have the expertise in-house. You don't. It's like when you need legal advice, you go out to a lawyer. Bring a company that has that technical knowledge that can work with you to put that that structure and strategy in place, and you'll find your ambassadors and start. And I think that would be my advice. And that's really what we're doing as Arena.
I think, yeah, a couple of things you said today around working with people. We've you know, had the absolute delight of working with a lot of the team in Arena in multiple places around the globe, and having that enthusiasm to see what it looks like for colleagues and for supply, you know, for events has been absolutely fantastic. We talk, one last question for you today. We talk a lot about ambition at Future Plus. It's really important to us to be able to, you know, to have something that's achievable but ambitious to get to in the future. So is there something that, you know, Arena is going to be involved in so many incredible moments in the next few years? You know, you've already talked about LA 28, you know, FIFA World Cup is coming up. What is it that you hope for Arena as a whole, even outside of the ESG strategy, over the next few years, and for yourself?
Yeah, I think for me, Arena is a global leader today in what we do in temporary infrastructure for sports events. For me, it's about making ourselves a better company internally. Making it an employer of choice, and I think it's, yeah, look, obviously we have financial targets. Yes, it's about growing the business, but for me it's about making us culturally a much more sustainable business moving forward, and I think and to be the leader in that, as I've said before, it's a very stressful industry, because the pressure to build and have things ready for the start of an event, and normally you're building in public places that are, I mean, for example, in London 2012, we had to build the beach volleyball in Horse Guards Parade. So you're managing...
Not your usual location.
You're managing number 10, you're managing the Royal Family, Buckingham Palace, the Royal Parks and all the stakeholders, and it's a construction site, and you're building an 18,000 temporary a stadium for beach volleyball. It's not a normal day-to-day job for people who work in our industry. So I think for me, it's constantly moving the bar. And the other thing for me is innovation, you know, how we build, what we build, making it look different is super important. So I think the journey we're on now, and I've said it many, many times before, we're 50% on that journey to where we need to be as a company. And ESG is very much part of that. And I think, you know, to get to that goal of being 100% of where we want to be, our ESG strategy is going to fall into place alongside the financial, operational innovation that we have as a business on a global basis. And then that all falls down into obviously building our brand and being known for that as a global brand. It's a bit it's ambitious, but we're pushing forward. We made a lot of progress in the last 4 years as a business, both in terms of how we've grown in size, but you know, the scale of the events that we're delivering. We never, what we built in Paris was huge. What we're going to build in LA is going to be even bigger. What we're doing with FIFA this summer in the US is much more than we've ever done with FIFA before. So everything that we do is bigger and better as a business. And that's down to our amazing employees and leaders in our business all over the world. And so, it's going to be a very exciting journey for the next 5 years.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. It's been an absolute delight. I think consistently pushing the bar is probably a good place for us to finish today. If you'd like to hear more about Arena Group and what they are doing, you can visit arenagroup.com. For more episodes and resources on building a sustainable business, you can head to future-plus.co.uk and you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much. That was absolutely brilliant, and best of luck in the launch.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for your support as well. Thank you.